Good morning.
Hello.
Yay!
How is everyone?
Pretty good.
Okay, so who's all here?
I'm here.
Good morning, Kitty Hawk, back in the merry old land of Oz.
Yep, I'm back in the land of Oz. Wow. I'm back up so
And why not?
Well, I love it here. I just had to go see family in Hawaii.
Ooh. Family.
So
did you have any of that sushi in Hawaii?
I had poke, which is ahi with onion and shoyu, I think sugar maybe, and then spam musubi.
Did you say spam?
Yeah.
Spam is big. Spam is big with Asian cultures. You won't believe it.
Somebody has a door open, I think, or a window open.
Probably me. Hold on a minute.
Let's go over the news. So we've got a few news items that I've picked apart in the last week. Somebody added the cartoonists demand action to end gun violence. I didn't see this. Who posted this one?
That was me.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll have you take off with that one. Sure. Has anyone tried or checked out the Kindle Comic Creator tool?
I looked at it.
I did not. Yeah, I looked at it, but I haven't downloaded it or anything.
It's very similar to some other software that I've seen before. Mm. It acts the same, like in the way that it cuts out the panels, how it detects it, and how you can edit it and stuff. So it's pretty interesting, and it's definitely a good way of, like, on small tablet devices.
All right.
It's interesting.
I did want to it sounds like we got a conversation for the WordPress security risk thing, even though this attack is over.
Mm. It is.
There's still likely a possibility that something like this can easily happen just again. So it's
Well, the biggest thing is WordPress is a compromise, because you could use something that's more like a vault, like say Drupal, but Drupal's not user friendly.
No.
it's one of those cases where, you know, the house has been built on, like, many times, and there's going to be some gaps, but it's solid. It's solid software. It's just, you have to keep up on it. It's like any software, you want to keep it updated, except that this software updates, you know, like once a week or so.
Yeah, WordPress does update itself at least once a month, at least.
And a lot more than that, because there are a lot more bugs. Like, I know that there's at least 6 bugs.
It was written by a high schooler on some break.
I'm not knocking it. I'm saying, like, vanilla WordPress is fine. It's not as security whole. It's when you add all the plugins, it starts to get to. Mm.
Oh yeah.
Oh god! Did we forget to put sealant there on the ceiling? Oh damn it!
Oh, isn't that your house, Kitty Hawk?
Yeah, kind of. We're still fixing that. Hell known it though.
Okay, who added the Square Enix thing?
Oh, that was me.
So what is this basically? It's just Square Enix shutting down their own proprietary sites?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's actually pretty big news.
It is?
Wait, are you going to be able to keep your comics?
I'm not sure. Probably not.
Yeah, move this up. This is actually big news.
This has been happening a lot lately. All right. Digital going down.
Hang on. I'm moving it up. It's moved up.
Yeah, Crunchyroll's got a more in-depth article about it than Robot 6 did.
The Crunchyroll would.
Yeah, of course.
I actually still know lots of the editors at the CBR. It's just, you know, if you need any news about that, just ask me and I'll ask them.
Let's see here.
I still talk to Brian Cronin all the time, so.
All right. The 2013 Eisner Award nominees are now posted. There's a couple that are available online and one that's available on Comixology, but the number one is free to read. And I checked that out. And
that Ant comic?
No, the Bandette is on the Comixology. Right. And Oyster War is more of a traditional webcomic. And the other three are more of the infinite canvas. Not really, but it's like their one post is like there's like a whole bunch of images you scroll down and read them.
Ant Comic's not really like that.
Well, you're scrolling down for them all.
You do scroll, but they are individual comics. True. They kind of remind me of like 1890s comics. Not the subject matter, but the style.
Mm. Hmm. You mean like Nast?
Well, yeah, kind of like Little Nemo or...
Yeah.
It was interesting. I mean, it was... I'm going to say, even for my taste, a little bizarre.
A little avant-garde.
Yeah, I mean, like, when you get to the ant queen demanding ants in her vagina, it's like, all right, comic, let's continue.
Wow. The only thing I'd ever heard of Ant Comic, and the reason I haven't checked it out, was because the phrase I heard was giant ant hoo-hoo. And I was like, yeah, no.
Yeah, it's rainbows. There's rainbows in the vagina. It's great.
Where isn't there?
All the way?
All the way. Rainbows. Double rainbow.
All right. And then I just had another one, which would be sort of a quick mention, but still pretty interesting. The DC Women Kicking Ass Tumblr blog basically is like, well, since DC's not going to do much for Lois Lane's 75th anniversary, we're going to interview all these famous people that have worked with Lois Lane over the decades. So it's really cool to I linked all the posts that are tagged to that, so it should be easy for people just to find those particular interviews.
Yeah, cool. I looked through them last night. It was pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. They should do something for Lois Lane. She's been around for 75 years, and she is an important part of the Superman story. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, kind of disappointing, DC. Oh well, it's DC.
Yeah,
well, it's all right. Jeff Johns masturbating to Hal Jordan now. So,
oh, Hal Jordan. I like Hal Jordan, but I prefer John Stewart. So, oh well.
The Black Guy or The Daily Show?
Can it be both? Can I have both for my birthday?
Yeah, Ben.
The Black Daily Show guy?
There is no Black Daily Show guy.
Maybe there should be.
There is a black. There's the he's the saucy black guy, you know? He's kind of got a round face. What's his name? But he's always saucy. I love him.
All right, let's go ahead and get started.
You're listening to the Webcomic Beacon at webcomicbeacon.com.
Start recording.
Oh, so you weren't recording all that good stuff that was happening before the show started.
No, I recorded it. I just don't usually have a use for it because it's so out of context.
it's just a natural conversation that will make people sound human and interesting. Yeah, you can't use that.
Human? No, we're robots. I am a robot. I was built in Akron, Ohio.
I'm sorry. I don't know.
If anyone's got to be day
journal, maybe I could start including the pre-show. Maybe
banter.
Maybe people would find that interesting. I will give it a shot for a few episodes and see what people think. Then how about that? Welcome to another edition of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com. Thanks for coffee and Ben, part of the Webcast Beacon Network at webcastbeacon.com. I'm Fess. And with me, we have, you know what, I'm going to forget how to say which website you're from. Ren from Marsha Mala's Surprise. I forget
That's
your
me.
URL.
Thank you.
But thanks for being on the show once again.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And also returning, Terrence from Average Joe at AverageAJComic.com. Welcome.
Hey, g'day there.
And we have also hailing from Australia, or Oz, as you say it, is Kitty Hawk from Super Generation,
Sparkling Generation, ValkyrieYuki.com.
Yes, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And last but not least, Ben Carver from AnimationAficionados.com. Welcome back.
Good to be here.
I'm glad. And so this week, this episode is the brand new episode of the Webcomic Beacon as it has been officially recombined from the newscast and the Webcomic Beacon. So we have, this is how things are going to be going from now on. And
Fusion Ha!
By our powers combined.
Yes. And let's see here. We also, what we have going for us right now is a news episode in which we have a list of things that we've collected over the past couple of weeks, of which to discuss. The first one brought to us by Terrence. How about you go ahead and take this first one away?
Sure. This first one popped up in Australia at least about a week ago. I first saw it on another cartoonist Twitter feed, linking to a short video, goes for about 2 minutes, that had been put together by a bunch of syndicated cartoonists in America, all coming together to make a stand and a statement against gun violence in the States. The is narrated by Philip Hoffman and Julianne Moore, and it goes through a bunch of drawings that have mostly been commissioned for the actual video, going through why these 23 cartoonists all believe that the American public should pull together and demand action from their politicians to start to put in some legislation to help prevent the terrible tragedies that that are so often being talked about in the news over there. Mm-hmm. It's a very, very interesting little thing, not in the least for the reason that, you know, the NRA has already got a list of cartoonists. That should be not getting no work and should be blacklisted. And it's really a interesting little read. There is a link that will be in the show notes to a copy of this.
Yep, from the Daily Cartoonist reports this and has the video link there as well.
Well, let me start out here by saying that I'm just going to say, number one, you know, I am not a member of the NRA, and not to mention the fact that after the Sandy Hook shooting, I actually disagreed with what their stance was when they blamed violent video games. I am
still doing that.
Immediately after, that's what they did. They said the problem is our entertainment and media, and I'm a libertarian at heart, and I believe that everyone should be aware of their own liberties and very little to no government intervention. And the biggest thing is, you know, you can get rid of guns, but you don't get rid of crazy and you don't get rid of sick people, because
that's why you need to do mental health. You need to bring it back. I mean, like, Reagan got rid of the mental hospitals back in the 1980s. And about that time, let's see, I don't know, homelessness started going up on the rise.
The institutions that were in place were also really horrible, horrible places.
But they were being reformed in the 60s and 70s. I mean, there was a lot of reform that went on then. It wasn't the same crazy house that was around at the beginning of the 20th century.
I'm not saying
we go back to institutions. I'm just saying that we need to increase the amount of money and resources that are put towards mental health. I mean,
I can actually agree with you.
Every single one of these large tragedies, and let's be honest here, even the large tragedies are dwarfed by the amount of gun violence that goes on in the United States on a given day. In fact, the amount of gun violence that goes on in Australia is about one day of gun violence in the United States. Even if you account for the population, it's still lower. It's still lower if you account for the population. The thing is that America just needs to realize that this is not going to fix itself unless you actually do some regulation like Australia did after the Port Douglas massacre.
The trick is what type of registration is the thing, because you have to also contend with that it's, you know, there's a constitutional right for
there is
to have guns. And then there's all the different interpretations of that, too, of course. But the constitutional
right is honestly there for militias and such like that. And, like, what I say about that is, oh, that's cute. You've got rifles and you've got guns and you might have some semi-automatics. But here's the thing. The government has nukes. The government has tanks. They have fighter planes. They can kill you. So the Second Amendment is kind of,
so technically the American people should have tanks, too. Yeah, we should have also tanks.
Like, should completely get rid of it. I like the way that it's done here in Australia, where you check in the guns and you let people know, like, okay, you take it down to the police department, you check it in, and then when you want to use it, like, for hunting or go to a range or something, you check it out, you tell them how much time you're going to have with it, you go use it, and then you bring it back.
I that can't see that sensible. Working. That will never work in America.
Kill my wife.
Well, you know what? Number one, I have to disagree. I have to disagree with that stance because of just two things. In countries where handguns are outright, you know, not in the hands of civilians, like England, you know, there is a higher percentage of burglaries happening when people are home. And part of that is, you know, burglars don't want to rob someone when they're home because, oh my God, they might get shot. And
what?
Don't know if that happens here, though.
Show me some statistics.
Don't know that.
I think this might be too heavy of a conversation to have on a Webcomics podcast.
That's why I'm sort of with this video. And, like, this video is nice. It's a nice little gesture. But I'm just sort of like, America is not going to solve its gun violence issue for a long time, and I always thought maybe it would be some large, like, incident that might get everyone actually talking about fixing the problem. But at this point, I'm just sort of like, I think the culture has just accepted that there are going to be some dead people, so okay, whatever.
Well, but again, that's well, the well, point. You have to keep in mind the same week that Sandy Hook happened in China, where they have where the civilian population is disarmed.
Mm-hmm.
A
crazy guy went into an elementary school and stabbed just the same amount of kids.
Just okay. Stabbed like 25 kids.
Like 25 kids
died from that, Ben.
Yeah, how many died?
I will have to look that up again.
It's still violence. But
one kid died.
But here's the thing: does the video at all give any sort of suggestions of what they should do, or just that people should act? Because that was my biggest problem with the 99% movement. They basically said, do something, but they never came up with anything of what to do.
No. With the 99% movement, there were some suggestions. There was about, like, some people saying some things that we might do. This video, on the other hand, just says, let's talk to Congress. Well, we've done that.
Yeah, it seems a little aimless, man.
Let's have the conversation is what this video is trying to get out.
The thing is that there is a conversation. Like, there already is a conversation. I watch American news still, and watch it, and it's just like, what are we going to do about gun violence? And it's like, nothing gets done. And then the next week, what are we going to do about gun violence? Nothing gets done. It's like you hear the same thing every week, and it's just there to fill some time.
Yeah.
Nothing gets done.
I mean, I've got
practically everything in America.
Like every other big change, though, if you've got to get the weight and numbers of public opinion behind you before you can start hope for any change. It's the same as, you know, gay marriage. It's the same as giving black people the vote. It's the same as letting women get a job.
Well, with some of these instances, it wasn't actually majority opinion that actually gave, like, black people the vote or something like that. But in this case, background checks are pretty much universally wanted in the United States. It's just that the leaders don't want it because, well, the leaders have interests in there being weapons out there. Like, a lot of them have ties to the manufacturers of the guns. So why would they want gun control? That makes no sense for their interests.
I think we're going way too political in this conversation. And it's a little bit more unrelated to what this show is supposed to be about. But
there's people tuning out. Well, where's the webcomic talk?
Yeah, where's the webcomic? Where's the webcomic stuff? Maybe there's a webcomic out there that talks about guns and violence and whatnot. But let's go ahead and move on because we have more items to talk about. Kindle releases a comic creator tool. Basically designed for, if you've ever read comics on Comixology and or read like a comic book tailored for a color Kindle, where you scroll through not pages but panels of the comics that you're reading. I'm not a particular fan of this, but they have a tool which creators can download. It's called Guided Panel View, essentially. And so creators can download this tool and create such a navigation or panel a guided panel progression for comics that they would then put on the Amazon market for use on their color Kindles.
I'm kind of against the whole the confines of it, though, because like Kitty Hawk was saying in the pre-show, it sort of locks you into a very, you know, Silver Age-esque American panel layout. Not necessarily.
I'm sure if you were to tweak it a bit, and I haven't actually used it, so I can't say this, but I'm sure you could tweak it a bit. I think it's interesting that it will help people get their comics on Kindle. It'll be a little bit more visual because, you know, if you look at a Kindle and you look at a comic page, it's like I have to keep zooming in and zooming out. It's kind of irritating. So this is kind of a nice hack to allow it to be a little bit more readable. And I'm sure if you were to tweak it a bit, you could get it to do the panels correctly. I'm not even going to try to attempt that with my own comic because panels sort of go into each other and stuff like that.
you have Yuki standing, overflowing over three panels with nice long legs.
I did have some software I was working on that would actually have allowed me to bring out the popped out panels out and stuff like that. And I tried to play around with that for a while, but I ended up like thinking,
is it really worth the effort?
I went in a different direction. In fact, I'm working on it right now, my new comic software. So that's
awesome.
Yeah. We'll have to see if anybody has had an opportunity to work with this comic creator tool. We'd certainly like to hear your feedback on it. You can leave a comment.
I'd like to hear how it works.
Yeah, yeah. I might end up looking at it too.
I talked about this last night because I saw it on the links and I was like, oh, they finally did that. Awesome.
Yeah, so it just came out.
Until I remembered I only do a single panel.
Oh! God, this is meant for you. It's so easy. You click the button, it says, here's a panel. Yay!
There you go.
With a giant marshmallow cat.
Yay!
Yeah.
It's so cute.
All right. Next bit of news that we've got. Ren actually had brought this to our attention. If you want to go ahead and take this one away.
Sure. Essentially, we've got another digital manga service shutting down. Square Enix apparently has been selling digital manga since 2010. People more in the know would probably also know that they announced it at the 2010 Comic-Con. I obviously did not. And so it's only been around for two and a half, three years. And they had a really bad quarter beginning of this year. So one of their changes was they're going to shut down their online manga store for North America and France, apparently. So, yeah, no more of that.
Oh, boy. And I actually looked a little into it, and it's looking like you won't get to keep your comics when they shut it down.
Of course.
Like all the other digital comics.
That is the part of the double-edged sword of digital distribution. If you don't find a way to copy the content you buy and save yourself, you're going to lose it once the cloud goes away.
And that's why I only get DRM-free if I don't buy it, if it's not DRM free, because it's like, no, I'm sorry, I'm not renting this from you.
Right.
I want to own it.
That's how I feel.
And a good example of this is, I brought this up before, but it's still funny to me. Bruce Willis actually did sue Apple about this because he wanted to make sure when he died, his iTunes was killed.
Was that actually real?
Bruce Willis actually did, and they actually. Because Bruce Willis apparently has a huge iTunes library.
Well, you know, and there is a way actually. Now, I'm not defending Apple here. They do still do the DRM stuff, but there is some stuff that is DRM free, and that's the stuff I buy. because I don't rent, I buy. And that's why I'm kind of irritated with all these services. And it's actually I'm really irritated because it might turn people off of like getting digital comics and just, going the other route to get their comics.
Digital distribution is the future. And I much would rather have a gatekeeping charge for premium content versus you, quote, buy content and it's in a digital cloud.
I'm fine with buying the content. Like, you buy the CBR, now you own the CBR forever.
No, I'm fine with that. But what I mean is like a model between Hulu and Amazon, because in Hulu you just pay a plus and you get all the extra content. That's a gatekeeping charge for extra content.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But Amazon, you quote buy. Yeah, you know, and then shows, but you renting. Don't own shows.
Yeah, you're basically renting. And now I'm even irritated with the I'm okay with like things like Netflix and Hulu. That's okay. But the gate, you're right. The
gate charge.
Yeah, gate is fine. But I actually would like a service that would do both. You know, like I want to, and like you can, and some services do this. They have you can rent for a bit. And then you can buy if you want. However, the buy price tends to be something insane, and you're like,
"Well, Amazon does that a little bit." Amazon does that a little bit because I swear you can rent some stuff, and then you have it. You have access to view the file maybe once, but you have like a couple of days.
What Amazon does is it has the gatekeep model as well, but the gatekeep model, it doesn't make sense unless you order lots of things from Amazon. It's basically a Prime membership.
Well, Prime's good. If you are ordering a lot of stuff from Amazon, and I happen to be one of those people, Prime is wonderful because, I mean, I can't take advantage of it as much as I used to, but, you know, because I'm here. But
Land of Oz. Yeah,
but I actually prefer. But it is a good thing if you get a lot of stuff from Amazon, it's worth the cost. You know, per year, because if you live near an Amazon hub center, you get your stuff you get 1 day shipping instead of 2 day shipping.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I know,
but
getting back to the subject,
there was a
that's how I see it. Is you know, there's two models of digital distribution: the quote unquote buy, actually rent in the cloud, and the gatekeeper. And I think gatekeeper should be a lot better.
Mm-hmm. I prefer the buying method just because, like, I would rather just give you $2 and get it, and we call it a day. Because you're probably going to get more money. You're probably going to get more money out of me if you do it that way. Mm-hmm. Because I'll be like, ooh, I want that. Ooh, I want that. Ooh, I want that.
And then you wink, wink, find a way to get that as an AVI anyways.
Oh, no. If everyone were to, if I could get Game of Thrones 1 hour after it airs in the United States, you know, for $2, I think I would, I don't know. I might do anything for the person who does that.
It's all about convenience.
I try to download the Doctor Who when it updates, but I haven't been having trouble trying to get more of the Series 7 stuff.
The Doctor Who.
It's getting easier to get Doctor Who.
Sound like a 50-year-old guy because I tell you this story because it's funny. At my job last week, a guy wrote about a template I created saying, well, the Twitter is hip and cool. So when I hear someone say the blank, I think 50-year-old guy.
All right.
I watched the Doctor Who.
I'm trying to get the Doctor Who off the internets there. And no, because I do buy the DVD later, but I don't want to wait until like the big DVD is there, because then I'm going to get all these spoilers because I go to these conventions and then things come up.
You can't buy the first DVD because there's going to be a special edition DVD the next month. Yeah. And then at the end of the year, it's going to be the box set.
Well, not so much with Doctor Who, but
The iPad 4, because 6 months later, the iPad 5 is going to come out. I say buy what you want to buy and be happy with it and don't worry about the next
thing. Right. I did hear something once. I thought it was recently, so I can't cite my source on this, but I heard that somebody tried to sue one of the MP3 sales sites and to be able to have the right to sell their MP3s. And the decision was that no, you can't do that because you're not actually giving them that file. In order to give them that file, you are technically making a copy of that file.
I remember that case, and I actually was like, oh my God, that is not, that is kind of going to make things weird.
Now,
as long as you don't understand how files work.
Yeah. Now, if they built in like a resell sort of thing within the iTunes thing, that could be an option. But I don't think we're quite there or slash ready for the resale of digital market just
yet. Corporations are not ready for that yet, is what.
Definitely not.
Well, you see, here's the thing. If they just, if they work the prices right and everything, people won't have to buy used, or they won't care to buy used.
And that's why that's what I've been saying is that, you know, if it were $2 to get the HD version of Game of Thrones, they would make so much more money than like off their HBO subscriptions.
Yeah.
Like the only reason people have HBO subscriptions at this point is really for Game of Thrones. And I guarantee you, everybody knows a person who has an HBO login. And there's probably like 100 people per HBO login. Like,
I believe it. So that's the gatekeeper, and the gatekeeper is basically like, I don't see nothing. Just the bouncer just waves them in.
Yep. And see, they could get all those people $2 a piece if they weren't so greedy.
Yeah.
If they weren't so holding on to this old method of transmitting data. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the thing. The content holders always are slow to adopt new models.
Oh, yeah,
because if you remember the 90s, Nintendo went on this smear campaign against the video game stores, saying that reselling used games is called the gray market and it's illegal and all this shit. Remember that?
They certainly did. And also, like, steamship owners totally tried to say that, like, diesel ships were unsafe. So, and let's see. There's been a lot of instances of that, but eventually they die and they go away. And well, then
Thomas Edison said that direct current is bad and electrocuted an elephant.
AC current, you mean. Yeah.
Yeah, it was AC current.
Oh, it was alternating?
He had DC.
Edison was DC. And because of him, we have the electric chair. Thanks, Edison.
Right?
All right, so
just for reference, that thing you were referencing was between Redigi and Capitol Records.
Oh, okay.
CNET has an article on it, and I think we found it on Pope Hat. It was at the beginning of this month.
Pope Hat.
I think. I can't find it yet.
I will try to look that up and get that link in the show notes since it's relevant.
Pretty sure we talked about it like at the beginning of the month.
I wasn't sure if that was us or some other podcast I listened to. So
I remember talking about it.
I remember hearing it at one point. No, I did hear several years ago that basically corporations need to look at bootlegging, digital distribution as pirating as competition.
Some of them have, and I've always pointed at when Netflix and Hulu Plus were really starting to get good content on there, good recent content on there, people actually looked at piracy traffic online, and it actually decreased for the first time ever.
Part of the reason that Australia got Game of Thrones season 3 on iTunes, after it airs on Foxtel, is because they did look at the numbers, and I think it was something like Australia was like one of the biggest pirators of the show. So they were like, we have to give that to them. We can't, they're not going to get Foxtel. Because every time I go by the Foxtel booth in the mall, it's hilarious because no one is there.
I'm sorry, what's Foxtel? Like,
Foxtel is like cable. It's owned by Rupert Murdoch, Sky News or News Corp or whatever. And it's like the saddest little booth because no one gets cable. It's like, aww, you're trying to keep your business alive. So I don't feel sorry for you. I'll go home and get my over the air. Thank you.
And I won't have to pay for the commercials.
Yay! They're so awesome because they're for free.
All right. I think we're going to go ahead and take a break right now, and when we come back, we'll have some more.
Yay!
This program is part of the Webcast Beacon Network at webcastbeacon.com. You can find and follow us on Tumblr, Facebook, Google+, and Twitter. Just search for Webcast Beacon. Have thoughts or questions on an episode? You can leave us a voicemail at 1-320-310-0922 or email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity in the creative process since 2007. Comics, art, and writing discussions, interviews, news, and reviews at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
All right, so Kitty Hawk, ready for the show tonight?
Oh, yeah, what time?
Or in a couple hours, I should say.
It's like 8 p.m. CDT.
Yes, yes, yes.
All right.
So what
MKR.
That's awesome.
What are you guys going to be talking about?
Magic Knight Rare Earth.
What?
What?
Magic Knight Rare Earth.
Never heard of okay.
It. You know,
it's like
ever.
Little girls with Mecca and sad endings.
And Sandy Fox singing the American opening.
Oh, God damn.
Hello.
No!
So let's move on to our next topic of discussion. Instead of that, we have, for those of you who had a WordPress site for your webcomics, you probably heard about this. There was a WordPress security risk earlier this month. Essentially, I saw this. Ars Technica was one of the places that had reported about this, as most people reported about it. Essentially, what happened was a brute force attack where, you know how most everybody has admin as their login for WordPress? Well, yeah.
Why? not me.
Why? Because it's default. And so there's a script that went around that went, hey, I'm going to put admin for the user, and then I'm going to try like a large handful of the most common passwords. And if I get into your site,
if you actually got hacked by that, you deserve it. I mean, it's like having a router with admin password.
No, dude, it's even worse than that. It's like I found this. So there's like you can just keep brute forcing. WordPress, so when someone logs out, the cookie, normally when you log out on a site, the session cookie basically says, okay, this person's logged out, this session is over, this code that I've given you temporarily is no longer valid. WordPress doesn't do this. Instead, it keeps that valid. So if someone basically brute force tries to look for valid session identifiers, they can get in. They basically, like, it's not even just passwords. They can just look for codes, and if they find one that's still valid, they can just get into your site with admin.
Wow.
So there's a lot, and like, there's a lot of holes with WordPress. Now, I'm not knocking WordPress. WordPress is a very solid piece of equipment. But the way I describe it is it's like a house that you added on to. Mm-hmm. Like the original house is like vanilla WordPress, you know, simple WordPress is actually a pretty strong foundation. It's when you start adding on little rooms. Let's say that.
Let's say plugins and widgets.
You might leave little gaps behind. And the thing is that over time, those gaps sort of increase and they get found. And yeah, they get patched. But the thing is that there are about like six major security holes found in WordPress, each month. And it's if you want to run WordPress, you really should just like update it very regularly. Every time there's an update, do it. And there are services. If you're not willing to be as vigilant, you can pay services to do this, but you better make sure that service is on the ball, because the thing is that these are usually very serious bugs that will get you hacked. Mm-hmm. And also, I was looking into this, and sorry if I'm ranting, but this is sort of like,
no, it's important.
What the fuck? And because it allows cross-site, like hack, like cross-site attacks, which basically are, in the comment section, I can take over your site using a script. Which, when I heard this, I was like, wait a minute. The last time I heard about that happening was like in the 90s. And that blew my mind because that's a really old, old, old thing. And it's still happening. Why is this still happening? Hmm. Well, it's because when you add plugins, they have bugs. And then there's ways to get in. And it's just, ugh.
Well, yeah. that's part of the flaws of an open system. You know, to be open, you have to be vigilant all the time.
But and there are also
plugins to WordPress that are strictly security plugins that basically say, mm-hmm. "Okay, yeah, I'm going to test your WordPress install to what vanilla WordPress is supposed to look like. I'm going to test your theme versus what your theme is supposed to look like. Mm-hmm. And if there's any discrepancies, I email you immediately or I fix it immediately."
Is that WordFence?
There are several services that do that, and WordFence is one of them.
Oh, yeah.
WordFence.
There's definitely some people that are out there looking for the bugs, and they're being vigilant in finding them. And, you know, and that's really good. It's just that if you're using WordPress, you have to be aware of this because you can get seriously pwned. And
you can,
just so,
yes.
So, yeah, so the thing is that get your updates, you know, be safe, be secure.
Get a database backup plugin, too.
Another thing to keep in mind is what kind of target are you? If you're just one of the many people that just have a regular WordPress site, you might get a drive-by brute force, but that's all. As long as you don't have admin password or admin whatever, you're going to be okay. If you have like a site with just baby pictures of your baby on it, and you know, today I ate ramen.
I would still
you're
say
you're going like, to be okay if you're going to.
Okay, you're less likely.
It all comes down to how important is the information on your site. If you find that this is very important to you, but the thing is that you should always think of your information as being important. So I say, like, if you're running WordPress, you know, keep up on the updates. If you aren't willing to do that, there are services that do that. So, you know, you can keep yourself safe.
Okay, so like I said, there's WordFence is one thing that you can use. There are also other plugins that you can use, which will affect your actual login thing. That might require a CAPTCHA or some other special code to help prevent brute force attacks or just, you know, the very simplest sort of things. If anybody else knows of any other plugins that we can use, we can post links to or mention. We'll get those into the show notes. If you know any, please post some in the comments. Also, I recommend getting a database backup thing so that you can always go back and reinstall your site.
You can also get two-step authentication put in as well, which is a nice little layer of security that I always recommend
The thing is that even with these plugins, you need to be very up on the updates.
Oh, yeah.
I cannot stress that enough because unfortunately WordPress is dynamic. It's PHP. So it's going to get, there's always going to be something on the horizon that's coming towards you. So the plugins help. I don't know much about them, but I just know that you should really just update. That is really the biggest way you can protect yourself. Like plugins are nice, but seriously, update.
Yeah.
But like I said, I still have to say that two-step verification is always a good authentication is always a good thing to add.
Or here's a better way. The better way to keep yourself secure from like attacks and such is use a software that separates the two things, which are dynamic and static. Like you can have kind of like my software. I only use my website as it looks on the web is static because that's how I generate it. That way it can't be attacked. It's just it can be attacked. You know, I'm not going to say any system is perfect, but it's static. So it's like, it's not like PHP where it is an active dynamic thing. So if you enter in some code into it, kind of like through a comment box or something like that, it can get run by the PHP. You should sort of kind of separate those things so that it's less easy to attack.
If you know coding and have the time to invest in that, or the money to hire somebody to do that.
Now, well, there is other software, but WordPress is probably the best if you don't know a lot about coding. You're right about that. And I do know, I do have a bit of experience. And of course I have, you know, my own husband who helps me with the coding. So I guess I do have an advantage, but that's just my thinking. I don't like to have dynamic code. Ugh,
the more highly customized the WordPress theme is, the more potential that you have that you might have had a gap in there. This is what basically happened with Blind Ferret multiple times because their whole site got taken down. Also, like, because they're big.
You're basically building onto the house and you left some gaps along the way.
Yeah. Also, they're really big. So when you're really big, you might be just a target because you're really big too. Right. So.
Definitely.
And you won't believe how many large businesses actually do use WordPress for their business sites. I know lots of large hotels do, and if I told you some of their names, that'd be shocking. But I can't because of an non-disclosure agreement.
I know about them, and I laugh my ass off because I hope to God they're updating their software.
They aren't.
Wow.
So, hackers, you heard it on the Webcomic Beacon. Head towards.
Let's Marriott, home of the cocks.
All right, well, let's move on to our next bit of news. The 2013 Eisner Award nominees have been posted. What we normally look at are the best digital comics category. This includes Ant Comic by Michael DeForge, Bandette.
How do you pronounce his name?
DeForge?
Okay. I thought you said something else.
I'm guessing.
DeForge?
Bandette by Paul Tobin and Colleen Coover, is it? I think.
Coover.
And it Will All Hurt by Farrell. Come on.
Dan Ripple.
Got the giggles.
Darrymple. Okay. Our Bloodstained Roof by Ryan Andrews and Oyster War by Ben Towel.
He's not Tally.
Don't forget your towel.
I'm sorry, Ben Towel. I didn't mean to do it.
Okay, so with a couple of these, I did manage to look at them. Oyster War is the only one that's really on sort of like traditional sort of...
It's one war, multiple wars. Fest.
Oyster War.
You said wars.
It's on a, like, it's traditional navigationable webcomic, single page at a time. And let's see here. Another one is linked to their Comixology page, but the first comic is free to read, so I did check that out. And then the other three are sort of like they're like a really like stacked updates or infinite canvas sort of style. So you scroll through like several different pages, and that's not something I've seen too frequently. Though it is a style.
I like the art style. It almost reminds me of Tintin, kind of.
For Oyster War?
Yeah, it does.
Oyster War, yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. But yeah, I like these infinite canvas comics. I'm glad that we've now gotten to the point where we can actually do it because bandwidth is not like the end all be all of everything. I read a couple of these and probably, I'm going to go ahead and say it, even though I said in the pre-show, like, it was, like, totally bizarre. Ant Comic, I think I like the best of all of these, just because it was so bizarre. And I like the style. Vagina. Yeah, the ant queen who wants her vagina filled with ants is... Okay, I got to give you thumbs up for that. Thank you for that. I've never thought of that, and now I've got that in my brain. Wow. But I really enjoyed it because the colors are really, like, he goes wild with the colors, and it sort of reminds me of Little Nemo and Crazy Cat because of how surreal it is. And
it actually almost reminds me of the art style of Yellow Submarine a little bit.
Yeah, it does have that with the colors and such. But it really, the layout really is like that turn of the century newspaper Hearst comic look, mm-hmm.
Actually, has a little bit in common with Adventure Time too.
Does have a little bit of that too, but it really, really does look like a turn of the century comic to me. And that's why I think I dig it. And also the humor, this, you know, despite the, it's a little bit more vulgar than they had back then. The humor is as surreal as it was back at the turn of the century. Like, if you read comics from that time period, they are fucked up.
Weird.
Yeah, like Tales of the Welsh Rarebit is like one of the most bizarre comics I've ever read. And it's like totally like, you know, as far as like there's no nudity or cursing or anything like that, but it is bizarre. And this is what that reminds me of.
There's some cartoons back then that were pretty bizarre too.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, that totally. One. That you, yeah, that one.
Yes, that which one. One.
Yes, that one. The that present. One. Yes.
That one.
Yeah, there's as far as picks go, they're all fairly varied. And I would recommend anyone to at least take a look at some of these. And so we'll post those links on our website as well. Many people posted, many news sources posted these awards. And so, and we'll keep on to see who actually gonna win. And only industry persons or I forget what are the, who can actually vote on these. I don't know.
They had a list of the people that were the judges this year. I think it was mostly people in the industry. Like, I think I saw Scott McCloud. Let's see. Here it is. Yeah, the Washington Post editor, some professors. Yeah.
So, but people that really don't read comics.
No, because this person, you know, wrote some comics on. Like making comics. There we go. All right. Well, it looks like they got some people who are at least, you know, into the comic scene. So good luck, judges.
Good luck, judges. Or we'll hate you.
Oh, no, we don't hate them.
No, I'm just kidding.
Love them. We'll give them candy.
We'll move on to our last little bit of news here. As some people may have heard, it is Superman's 75th anniversary, and no, he doesn't become a public domain because the United States voted to have copyright last another 25 years. Now it's 100 years copyright, so
yeah,
and that's a whole.
Damn it!
That's because that's what Disney wanted.
It's a whole different
thing.
Oswald the Rabbit had to go back into Disney's hands, which is
even
weird.
Though they haven't used them for about 60 years.
Yeah, and also they didn't originally own the copyright either. So
he was quite a thief.
Yeah, well, you know, fuck corporations. Anyway,
yeah.
So that's a whole nother discussion. So the Tumblr blog DC Women Kicking Ass, we've had her on the show before, is going to be doing a Lois Lane 75th anniversary tribute where it's like there's like DC's not going to do anything, so we're going to go back and we're going to interview all these different people that had a hand in doing something with Lois Lane over the decades that they got interviews with.
And damn, does she look fine for a senior citizen.
Yep. My God, that work. Where did you go, honey?
Yeah. There's tons of interviews. We got a link to their tag for Lois Lane 75 in our show notes, and you can check it out. Very good reads, very interesting people that they're talking to, well-known people that they're talking to. Because she was there from the beginning as well, and she's had her own spin-offs as well. Oh, so she is certainly
a character. Like the issue where she became black.
I am black. Oh my God, that one. That one is, that was when DC was trying to be like Marvel in that, you know, being progressive and being for civil rights.
I wouldn't say because around that same time they had the issue where Jimmy Olsen became a gorilla.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well,
yeah. Like Jimmy we're
Olsen,
talking about civil
Jimmy
rights.
Totally
and
different.
Honestly, what hasn't Jimmy been?
He's been Gamera. Did you know that he was Gamera?
He's been a monkey. For a while? He's been everything.
I mean, go to Super Dickory and you can see all the things that Lois Lane and Jimmy Olsen have been. They've competed for fucked up things. Batman, I think
Superman had a Pope hat for a while too.
Yes, he did.
Oh my God.
All hail King Superman. Which I love that they did that in Batman Brave and the Bold. That was the Super Dickory episode classic.
You know, I'm almost sad that Kurt Swan actually drew a lot of those, because Kurt Swan was an awesome Superman artist. I'm almost sad because
aww. But he gave us such joy. Think of all the laughter he had because of this. Lois Lane.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I just
liked Swan's more serious Superman stuff as well, because he like came up with a definitive Superman art look that DC kept using up until the 90s. So
yeah,
you know, Neil Adams, when he did the, you know, the reboot, he even used the Swan-esque style.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm sorry, they're still hilarious. I mean, look, God. I wish
they're hilarious now. Yeah, I don't know if we had some of that stuff like today, if it would be as hilarious. I'm not sure what people actually thought when they actually came out, if it was taken more seriously, or if it was just purely everybody thought it was a joke.
I think at the time it was the silver. Okay, I have a theory about like the Silver Age. You know, anything before 1980, everybody was on drugs. I mean, watch any cartoon, read any comic book, and everybody was on drugs. So I'm sure they found it hilarious, because there's no other explanation for things like Hanna-Barbera or the Silver Age, except for drugs.
I'd love to see the artist kit from that time.
Oh, that would be amazing. Right.
Joint.
What do you need today? An upper, a downer, or something that does a little bit of both? I got it all.
Well, I know for a fact that most of the animators at Filmation were on antidepressants.
Ooh.
Wow.
Because they had to work for Lou Scheimer.
And at Hanna-Barbera, yeah. God knows what those people were on. Hey, Batman, let's get over to headquarters. Let's go through the TV screen. What?
Oh, Hitchcock. And, you know, speaking of Lou Scheimer, I just have to bring up, Lou Scheimer did what every famous person does after their career takes a dive. You know, they wait a few years and then they go into pornography.
Oh, really? Okay.
Together, Kitty Hawk.
I know. It was excellent. It was
thanks
wonderful.
For bringing that up online.
Robin.
Oh, God, you had to do the Robin.
I had two copies of that, and I ended up giving them to Neil and Ben when I moved here, because I was like, I got to give them something that will remind them of me forever. And it was hard.
I don't think you're hard to forget, Kitty Hawk.
Oh, thank you.
I wish Robin and Dreamweavers was easy to forget, because when we watched it, I actually threw up, and Kitty Hawk's husband actually threw up.
He did actually throw up. It was that bad.
Oh my.
But the 3D penis is worth the price of admission.
Okay, yeah. And so this weekend, Free Comic Book Day.
Yay!
So go ahead and find your local comic book store and see what free goodie offerings that they have, as well as artists that may be there doing signings or sketches or whatnot. I'm going to try to go around and get some film footage of at least a handful of comic book shops in my area. And see what I can come up with. But go ahead, check it out. Get some loot. It's Halloween in the spring. You know, get some free comic books.
Can I pitch myself real quick? I'll be at Ace Comic and Games in Annerley, Queensland, this Saturday. Come by. We'll be having free comic books. And there'll be comic creators there to talk with and have fun with. So come on by.
Work on your pitch a little bit better, I think. I don't
just
know.
Came up with that on the spot. So.
I don't know what our reach is in Australia. I don't know what our audience reach is in Australia. But I do know that people don't necessarily listen to our shows when they come out. But,
yeah, because Fest likes to delay them for over a month. Yeah,
okay, well, I hope that you came by Ace Comic and Games in Adderley. It was a fun time, wasn't it?
Why not go for the news during the winter?
The news episodes come out the same week that I record them.
Okay. So come on by Ace Comic and Games and Adderley this Saturday.
All right, I think we're done.
Please visit Kitty Hawk. She needs you.
I need you to come by. Validate my assistant.
All right. So that is it for this week's edition of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com. And I'd like to thank everybody who came to be on the show this week. Thanks to Terrence from ajcomic.com.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
Ren from Marsha Mella Surprise.
Thanks, Fess. I love being on here with you guys.
Hooray! Ben Carver from Animation Aficionados.
Always good to be here. Check out AAAnimationAficionados.com.
And Kitty Hawk from SGVY.com.
Thank you very much for having me. Sparkling Generation, Valkyrie Yuki. You'll love it. SGVY.com.
We'll see you next time.
She's been practicing.
Sexy fun. I've done this for years.
We'll see you next time.